From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The White House says the administration remains hopeful that the Senate will work out a compromise version of legislation to overhaul the nation's financial regulations. That despite indications that Democrats will be unable, in a procedural vote this afternoon, to block a Republican filibuster of the current version of the measure. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says he's confident that at the end of the day, GOP lawmakers will not block the legislation.
I think in the end, we're going to get a bipartisan vote because I think the position they're in right now is just simply untenable.
Gibbs cited a new Washington Post ABC News poll showing about two-thirds of Americans want tougher regulations on the way banks and investment firms conduct business. President Obama is hosting a meeting of entrepreneurs, educators, and investors from dozens of countries today. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the goal is to deepen ties between business people in the U.S. and Muslim nations.
President Obama proposed this week's Entrepreneurship Summit in Cairo last year as part of his broader outreach to the Muslim world. Many of the 250 people taking part in the summit are from majority Muslim countries. Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes says by encouraging more startup businesses in those countries, the White House hopes to unlock opportunities for economic development and foster commercial partnerships between Muslim people and the West. In drawing up the summit's invitation list, U.S. officials bypassed foreign governments and instead looked for people who already started successful businesses or show the potential to do so. The U.S. government will be announcing efforts to cultivate these entrepreneurs. The Commerce Department is organizing nearly two dozen trade missions between the U.S. and participants' home countries. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
Germany insists that it is ready to help Greece with its massive debt crisis, but Thomas Martzall reports German leaders say they're waiting for the outcome of talks the Greek government is holding with the International Monetary Fund and the European Union before committing to contribute to emergency funds.
Chancellor Angela Merkel said her government would act in order to save the euro, but German lawmakers also want Greece to agree to strict austerity measures at home before they pass any bailout. Greece's debt debacle has been splashed across the headlines here, and the news hasn't been popular with the public. Polls show two-thirds of Germans are against helping Greece. Germany could have to dole out more than a quarter of the EU's proposed multi-billion euro bailout, and the political debate over Greece is heating up. Merkel's center-right coalition faces a crucial regional election in less than 2 weeks. For NPR News, I'm Thomas Martzall in Berlin.
A federal appeals court in San Francisco has ruled that Walmart must face a class action lawsuit claiming the retailer discriminates against female employees. The lawsuit was filed in 2001 on behalf of more than a million current and former Walmart employees. Blue chip stocks are holding on to narrow gains on Wall Street, but the broader market has barely budged today. The Nasdaq is up 2 points. This is NPR News. A special electoral court in Iraq has disqualified a winning candidate in the country's recent parliamentary elections on the grounds that he was once a member of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. The panel also disqualified 51 losing candidates, which will force a recalculation of winners and losers on the entire lengthy ballot. Alan Sillitoe, one of a group of writers known as the Angry Young Men in post-war Britain, has died. NPR's Lynn Neary reports he was 82 years old.
Sillitoe, along with writers such as John Osborne and Kingsley Amis, were known for writing about the alienation of the working class. Sillitoe grew up poor in Nottingham. His father was often unemployed and sometimes physically abusive. Sillitoe left school at the age of 14. After a stint working at the Raleigh Bicycle Factory, he joined the Royal Air Force and served as a radio operator in Malaya. Sillitoe began writing while he was recuperating from tuberculosis. He was 20 years old, and he said it took him another 10 years to learn how to do it well. His best-known works, Saturday Night, Sunday Morning, and The Loneliness of the Long-Distance Runner, were both made into successful films. Sillitoe did write about the working class, and his characters often defied authority, but he never liked being called one of Britain's angry young men. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
The company that owns the West Virginia mine where an explosion killed 29 men earlier this month says air samples taken at the site did not show high levels of explosive gases just before the blast. The chairman of the board of Massey Energy says the samples were taken by a foreman as part of a routine shift change. President Obama is calling for tougher mine safety regulations to prevent a repeat of the tragedy. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.